connected. Text 960-960 to get your voice heard. Ryan Pinder in the morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Unfortunately, dead deers blocking two main routes in Calgary.
602, no dead deers. Just kidding. Happy Thursday, everyone. Pinder dead Lombardius. Deers. As a big day for Flames Nation today, we'll have Ken King in the studio 7 till 8, taking your questions on the proposed Calgary Next multi-purpose facility in the West Village. Good morning, Mr. Lombardius. How are you today?
Good morning, and I would suggest a big day for Calgary Nation. When you think about the plans, and if it all comes to fruition, and we expect it to, I think it changes in many ways the landscape of the entire city.
Yeah, downtown certainly is a lot different with what we're seeing happening in the East Village, and I think this on the other side, you're right. It would complete the downtown core, Lou, I think. There's something to that. That said, lots of questions. A lot of people saying, I love the idea of being put together here, but what's it going to cost? And there are still some question marks out there in terms of this land. The creosote. Jay, we need like a creosote update, apparently. So Ken's going to be in answering questions, and I look forward very much to that. Rob Kerr will be in for that as well.
Me too. Absolutely. We'll be very much tuned in for that.
Yes, it's not going to happen overnight. We know that. So this is kind of square one, which is why there's lots of questions and which is why we've seen Ken very active in the media and open to chatting with all kinds of folks to try to, I guess, solve any confusion surrounding the proposed multi-purpose facility. How about them Blue Jays, Lou?
Whew. Too bad they can't hit.
They hit anymore, the scoreboard bulbs would be blown out in Texas. Holy.
And not just in Texas. Don't forget they threw a 36 spot up on the weekend in Anaheim.
Not struggling to put runs on the board.
They absolutely are not tuned in at 2-2. And Mr. Price, early in the game, looked, ordinary is not fair, but not quite as sharp as we've seen him. And then absolutely bears down in the fourth to get himself out of a jam. Justin Smoke goes to work, another home run. And then, in many ways, it's hard to have a rather quiet 21-game hitting streak. But Edwin Encarnacion, who I'm not sure anyone has talked about enough during this unbelievable run of what's now 21-4 in their last 25 games, has hit safely in 21 straight. He's 11 for his last 29 with 14 runs batted in, including a grand slam that, shall we say, iced another win for the Jays and has now moved them, thanks to another Houston win in the afternoon at Yankee Stadium, two full games up for top spot.
Patton comes set the 2-2 to Edwin. And there's a drive to left center field. It's deep. It's gone! Into the Blue Jays bullpen. It's a grand slam for Edwin Encarnacion. And the Blue Jays now lead the Rangers 10-2.
Just a mammoth blast from the hottest player on the team. And it's funny, you're right, Lou, for all the talk about Donaldson for MVP, that was the focus of the Anaheim series because he was up against Trout. And for, Troy Tulowitzki, should he be hitting first? What about Ben Revere? He's starting to get on base a ton. Should he be the leadoff guy? Lost in all that, in the month of August, Encarnacion is nearly hitting .400. He's hitting .382 and has hit safely in every single game this month. It is stunning.
It absolutely is. And he's always been prone to having streaks like this almost every single season, and it comes at a great time.
Yeah, it sure does. He is heating up, and the Jays now have won 21 of 25. They have never won 21 games over a 25-game stretch in franchise history. And it's just another one of those stats that all of a sudden, when people look back in 20, 25 years, There'll be some records held by a couple of those Jays teams in the 80s. Certainly lots of records held by the 92 and 93 clubs, certainly offensively, 93. And this 2015 club is right there and might be ahead of where some of those other teams are at in terms of franchise marks offensively. It's to the point now where they cannot surprise me doing anything offensively, because my expectation is that they're going to be considered one of the great offenses the game's ever seen. And that's crazy. Historically, they're great.
Hard to argue. Every game you watch, you think they have a chance to put up six or seven every single night. There's some large, large, crooked numbers. And what was the stat that I saw last night? They have scored, if you can imagine this, they have scored 10 or more runs now 20 times this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. It's just incredible.
That says a little, doesn't it, about their offensive abilities?
10 runs, 20 times.
We'll have to double-check that one, but I am almost for certain during the course of the broadcast last night on Sportsnet that I saw that note.
Here's the thing with that. I mean, how many games have they played? They've probably got 30 left, let's say. So,
well, they're 71 and 55. So if you turn that into quick math, that should be
126,
which means they have 36 left to get to 162.
So essentially, every 6.5, 7 games, they're going to put up a 10 spot.
That's ridiculous.
That's unreal.
Again, we'll have to double check that.
I'll circle back. I saw that somewhere too.
Because it seems right. Very, very lofty, but they've done it 3 times in their last 5 games.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, you look what they've done in this series. They scored 12 last night. They scored 6 yesterday, or 2 days ago, excuse me. That's 18 runs. That's half of their production in the 3 games in Anaheim. I mean, it's been going that good where 6 feels like an off night. They had 15, they had 12, they had 10 in Anaheim.
That's ridiculous.
Crazy. Today, matinee, they've got Marco Estrada, who's another guy that quietly has set a career year. I don't know that Edwin's here is necessarily a career year, but he's sort of been under the radar this month with his success. With all the talk about Price and all the hand-wringing and, gnashing of teeth over what to do with Drew Hutchison and his inconsistencies and R.A. Dickey and the knuckleball and Mark Burley kind of having a rough go here the last 3 or 4 starts, this guy just goes out and gives you 6, 7 innings with a couple earned runs. That's it, every start.
He's a pitcher, and he's becoming a better pitcher all the time because, you know, he barely registers 90 on the gun. And in this day and age where it seems like every time I watch a major league ball game, if the pitcher isn't around 94 or 95, you wonder what's going on. It almost seems like everybody in the game that enters the game now at that level is in that for sure 93 to 95 window. But this is a guy who's really worked very hard on his location. His ability to change speeds, his changeup in particular, has become a great pitch for him. And he is a neat story, and he has been ridiculously valuable to what they've been able to do. And listen, at the end of the day, as this goes down the stretch, we know they can hit. Are they going to pitch well enough? I think they're going to the playoffs. We're getting very close to, in my estimation, knowing for sure that come October the 6th or 7th, they're going to play at least in a wild card game.
Well, here's my thought on the playoffs. They got to basically play 500 baseball to get to 90 wins. So they're a playoff team.
Absolutely.
And 500 baseball, watching these guys now, that would seem like an incredibly disappointing stretch. And of course, they're on a hot streak, and reality will sink in. You're not going to win 20.
You're right. I mean, you're not going 21 of your next 25.
No, but they look like a group that 6 out of 10 would seem like, you know, that's
it's going to happen.
That should be sea level for them.
Yes, yeah. It's going to happen.
And look at the wild card race. I mean, they have now knocked 3 consecutive teams out of the wild card. the second wild card in terms of they had a series with Minnesota, see you later. Series with Anaheim, see you later. They're doing the same thing to Texas now.
Yeah.
It's not like they're being chased. They're now two games up on the division lead with the Yankees, and for them to miss the playoffs, that would be a catastrophic Wile E. Coyote fall off a cliff type finish to the season, and I just don't see it.
No, neither do I. And Ryan, really, it's almost at the point, and I, you know, it's maybe looking at things a little half empty, but you always want to make sure you're in. After you're in, anything can happen, but we're almost at the point where you just don't look at that wild card situation very much anymore, because that's almost, as you just alluded to, almost a given.
Minnesota holds the second wild card. They're 4 games over .500. The Jays are 16 games over. So,
well, they're 6 losses clear of that spot.
I'd go ahead and buy some of those playoff tickets.
No, yeah, and get ready to dig into your wallet.
Yeah, well, rightfully so. Major League Baseball prices them, and if it's a once every 20 years type event, you could probably justify it. And in this instance, it has been. If they go to the playoffs next year, moan away. But I'll tell you who will happily get off their wallets after not seeing them in the dance since 93.
I'll tell you who are the happiest guys in this particular community. The same guys I've been watching walking around the stadium scalping tickets for about the last 15, 20 years. They're the happiest guys on the planet.
No kidding. Tickets, who's buying? Who's selling? You need 4? Hey, buddy, you need tickets?
Yeah.
These guys have been grinding to make $1 a ticket. All of a sudden, triple face value, that probably sounds like a good place to start. It is 6:13. We'll get more Jays talk as we get through the morning. Also, we'll hear from the agent of Mark Giordano. Rich Winter was on with the afternoon show yesterday. Really good conversation regarding the deal. And some interesting things that are happening economically in our country that allowed this deal to get done at a number that I didn't think was possible. You'll be very intrigued about how something as simple as China's growth, maybe not simple, but as convoluted as that, could affect why Mark Giordano and Rich Winter got this deal done at the number that they did with the Calgary Flames. Also this morning, we will have Rob Kerr, 7 till 8, with Ken King, answering your questions. Email, text, phone line, any other method, Twitter, you can get a hold of us with. That will be perfect. Love to get your questions in for the CEO and president of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation. That's all coming up this morning. On top of that, we do have to figure out what Lou thinks, because you're here this week, and I often wonder what Lou thinks. And the 9 o'clock looking very good. Ian Busby by for his regular Thursday slot to talk all things Stampeders. It is 6:15 on your Thursday morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Fan 960 Pinder on Twitter. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Morning. It's Pinder Labardius on your Thursday. Ken King going to join us in the studio 7 till 8 this morning. That is 40 minutes away. That's awesome. If you've got questions, he provides the answers. Why don't we rip off some of those ways you can get a hold of us? I don't want you to burn down the phone lines now because Ken is not here, but he will be at 7. 960-960, obviously, you're familiar with that one. That is the text line. On top of that, you can call 403-240-4444, *960 on your Rogers wireless device. Just a cell phone, right? That's a fancy way of saying cell phone, wireless device. Ooh, it doesn't have wires. Yeah.
Very fancy.
My TV remote doesn't either. Settle down. Also, you can email fan960@rci.rogers.com. That's fan960@rci.rogers.com. Or you can hit up Rob Kerr or myself on Twitter. That would be at Fan960 Pinder. And for Mr. Rob Kerr, I believe, but I want to make sure, he is Fan960R Kerr. Just search Rob Kerr. You probably follow him already if you're on Twitter. If you don't, shame on you. CFL Week 10 gets going tonight, Lou. This has been an impressive run for the Ticats. at old Tim Hortons Field. I don't know if you have been or if you're nearby, but the legend beginning to grow.
I have not been. I've been by the stadium on two or three different occasions, but have yet to actually see a sporting event in it. The way they are playing right now is they demonstrated in their last outing an absolute pounding of a pretty darn fine Edmonton Eskimos team in their last game at Commonwealth Stadium. I'm not sure it matters where these guys play right now. They are a tough out. The defense is fantastic. They have terrific weapons. And I think more than anything, Zach Collaros has turned into the type of quarterback that Ken Austin went out in search of a couple of years ago when he plucked him and the Argos couldn't keep everyone, needless to say. And Ricky Ray is still their number one guy, even though we haven't seen him for forever because of injury. So it's all coming together. And I would say this about Ken Austin. Take a look at that CFL track record.
Yes.
All his teams ever seem to do is play for titles.
Well, I know that you'd be familiar, and many that now live in Alberta are as well, that when he left Saskatchewan, a lot of people thought, this isn't good. When can we get him back? And by the time that he did want to return after a stint south of the border with college football, it was Hamilton that desperately needed a coach, not the Riders. And there you are, the legend gone.
Legend gone, and was lucky enough to deal with him as a player covering the team back in his day in Saskatchewan, and always has been a ridiculously intelligent. You could see that he had the makings of being a very, very good coach, even as a player back in the day.
The takeaways in terms of turning fumbles, interceptions into points has been particularly impressive. I believe the Ticats have more defensive touchdowns by quite a margin than the rest of the league combined. They don't just play good defense. They take the ball from you and then dance in your end zone. It's something special.
And if they don't do it that way, Mr. Banks is capable on every single return of taking one for a touchdown. So that's the deal with that team. They defend ridiculously well. Their offense, even without a couple of key pieces, including C.J. Gable and Andy Fantuz right now, isn't slowing down. Listen, you know, you don't have to be a genius to understand that in football, if you're pretty good in all three phases, you've got a pretty good chance every week. And I'm going to ask Ian Busby, it was funny, earlier this week, Stephen Brunt on our program said he thought that the Tiger Cats right now are hands down the best team in the CFL. I'm going to ask Mr. Busby that same question coming up later this morning at 9:25.
Yes, and Stephen also sort of added that, well, I'm clearly biased, but here's my thought. Of course, he's been a longtime Tiger Cats fan. He still attends games with his mother, which is awesome that Brunt has an area where at least he can be a fan. But at the same time, that's a guy that knows the CFL football, and it would be tough going numbers to numbers against any other team in the league and saying the other team's better than Hamilton. That said, I think a healthy Calgary club, I would not put it past them, because we've seen them at 6-2 despite that O-line being marred by injury, despite major departures of free agents, despite a totally new-look receiving core. The MOP has been missing for some time. I think they've kind of flown under the radar as a result.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And let's not forget, they're the defending champions. So no matter what anyone says, each and every week, in my opinion, in sport, becomes different when you have that target on you. Teams just play you differently. And there's always, I feel, a little bit extra hunger when you play a defending champion. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me at the end of November if the Grey Cup of 2014 looked a lot like 2015.
That'd be fun too. Can you think of the last time we had teams going?
The last time back to back,
same two teams. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't. But I would not be your CFL historian.
No, I'd need a little bit of time. Probably not a whole lot, but it's happened. It has happened. But yeah, we'll track that down as well.
Thoughts on the Stamps. They head into Winnipeg. They have played a ton at home. They finally got that first road win in Saskatchewan, which is a great place to pick up wins no matter what your team name is in this league. They remain at 0-8 this season, 0-8 at this point. They go to Winnipeg coming off a bye, And there's a few different storylines unfolding as they get there. I really like the way they run the ball in Saskatchewan against a defense that's been downright horrible and has allowed more points than anyone else in the league. But
well, that team can't block the fire exit, so
sure.
Take that for what it is.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you have the Jasper Simmons drama as he has found a home in Winnipeg and could be suited up. I'd expect him to be suited up. Thoughts on this weekend matchup for Saturday?
Well, a little concern. Doesn't sound like Joe West is going to play, so that takes away, you know, a real weapon from your arsenal. The thing that's really amazed me about this team is, again, in the sport of football, the team and teams that have the ability to control the line of scrimmage makes all the difference in the world. If you can't get people blocked, you just don't have an opportunity to get a whole lot done offensively. And the way that Stampeder coaching staff has gone about their business in terms of getting new people ready at those important spots almost each and every week has been quite astounding and astonishing to me, because, my goodness, usually if you have one key injury on your offensive line, it can really, really create havoc. And I would say that it has created more than they would have liked in terms of sacks given up and pressure. But, my goodness, they've done an excellent, excellent job.
6:27, we'll step aside. When we get back before 7 o'clock, we will hear from Rich Winter, the agent of Mark Giordano. That camp and the Flames coming to terms on a six-year, $40.5 million contract that will keep Giordano in Calgary till 2022. A no-move clause the first 4 years, a limited no-move the final 2 years, and again, this coming season, the final year of a contract paying him just over $4 million. Brad Treliving's locked up his core. We'll hear from the agent's point of view some interesting market forces that I would say swayed the tone of the negotiation, as we'll let Rich elaborate on that, revisiting that conversation from yesterday.
Are you suggesting that 675 American, if you're cashing your checks in Canada, look a little different these days?
Tell you what, if you're poolside in Florida, you're not worried about the conversion. But if you're a Canadian that spends your time in Canada, it does make a difference. It's a good point, Lou. We'll take a break. More on Giordano's deal when we come back on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Fan960 Pinder on Twitter. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back. It is 6:35. Pinder and Labardius in this morning on your Thursday. Ken King will join us for a full hour in studio. 7 till 8, taking your questions. Again, the information you need to know, text your questions in 960-960. You can get a hold of us via the phone line at *960 on your cell phone. Call us, 403-240-4444, or email in. If you're in front of a keyboard, you're at work, and you're not supposed to be listening, you have an earbud that is snuck in. Maybe the email is the best way to go. It is fan960@rci.rogers.com. You can also get a hold of Rob Kerr or myself on Twitter. Sounds good. Lots of ways to do it. No excuses. Get your questions in for Ken. We'll get to that at 7 o'clock. Got to tell you about a big event coming up at Shanks on McLeod Trail. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, proud to be home of the NFL, and you can get involved with our Survivor Pool coming up on Tuesday, September the 8th. It all supports Kidsport Calgary. Be there on Tuesday, September the 8th before 6 p.m. $30 will get you in. One winner will be crowned at the end of the season. They'll get half the entry fees. The other half will go to Kidsport Calgary, and the winner also will get a $7,500 garage makeover from Trail Appliances and Gladiator Garage Works. Gotta love it. Great organization in Calgary supporting kids playing all kinds of different sports. That's Kidsport. Heck of a cause and always fun. A little added interest to your Sundays, and I suppose depending on where you pick, maybe a Thursday or a Monday. Survivor Pool's always fun. If you're not familiar, well, pick any team in the league. There's all of them are playing, especially early. All you need is pick one that's going to win. Once you take them, you can't use that team again. On and on you go until, things get pretty tough if you can get to week 7 or 8. And, of course, there's always those upsets nobody sees coming. And, oh, they just lost their number one quarterback 2 snaps in. Maybe I'm not a lock for the Packers this week. That sort of thing happens every year. Looking forward to that one. Again, we'll see you Tuesday, September the 8th, live at Shanks South, the Survivor Football Pool supporting Kidsport of Calgary. Lou, I did a little homework last night. I am preparing for my fantasy football draft this weekend.
My goodness.
It is the most convoluted keeper league of all time. I think we started this league back in 2002, which makes it more than a decade old. The Calgary Beer League. I'm very much looking forward to Saturday's live draft, and I have almost no keepers. My team will be horrible. I'm quite embarrassed. Sifting through the ashes. Here's what I did. I did the load up at the trade deadline thing last year, trade futures for present, and then flamed out in the first round. I don't know who the comparable would be, but maybe not unlike some Penguins seasons of years past. I'm going to add some guys at the deadline and then flop. So all things football getting very close here. You a fantasy football guy, Lou?
I've played in two different seasons, but I must admit I am not a huge fantasy. I wish I was more of a fantasy football guy.
Because we had you in our Media Hacks League last year. Guys around the station got together, but your team essentially was idle. I think you set your lineup for week one and it didn't change. So I hope you weren't offended when you didn't get an invite this year.
No, I was not offended at all.
Should be fun.
Not one bit. I think I looked into it about three different times.
Any reverberations from the Giordano deal that you've heard out in Toronto? I know it was the news of the day on Tuesday, but now 48 hours almost to the signing of the papers. Are you left with one singular impression of what we saw happen between the Flames and their captain?
As far as the overall feedback?
Yeah, I just think, you know, obviously it's a love-in here in Calgary.
Yes.
But you're elsewhere.
No, I haven't heard anything but positive. No matter what I look up on the internet, no matter what I've heard in a couple of radio shows that I've listened to, everything has been really, really positive. And I think the exciting thing in many ways is we're really lucky, because I'm such a big proponent in understanding how good people are when you get to see them on an everyday basis. And I think this really, really helps again for Mark Giordano. I just think his ability continues to be more and more appreciated throughout the league. Not that he really cares, or frankly anyone in Calgary cares. You know, it's just fine if nobody thinks he's in the top five or even in the top 10 of defensemen in the league. But I think it's, as I've said all week long, I think it's such a win-win scenario for both sides, the hockey player himself and his family, and for the Calgary Flames moving forward. I just think it makes so much sense and will allow them to do a lot of great things because of the deal, because of locking him up for that point in time. And you hear it from the people that matter the most, be it Bob Hartley, of course, Brad Treliving. This guy is the heart and soul of this group. There's absolutely no question about it. And if you play with someone like that and he is your captain, you just, if you don't start to pick up your work ethic and how you go about your business, you're going to be left behind, because when your best guy does it every day, then you better jump on board.
We will pull back the curtain on that negotiation next. Rich Winter, the agent of Mark Giordano, when we return on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Talking sports in the morning. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
.643, Ken King in studio, about 15 minutes away. One more time, I'll give you the numbers and the methods so that you can get a hold of us. 403-240-4444 on your phone, *960, 960-960 if you're texting in, or you can email fan960 at rci.rogers.com. Hit us up on Twitter as well. We've got Rob Kerr and myself in studio with the president and CEO of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation. 643. Rich Winter joined the afternoon show yesterday to talk about the Mark Giordano contract extension, pen to paper on Tuesday. How did it happen? Have a listen.
Try to give me the two-sentence story about this contract, what it was like from you and Gio's point of view.
You mean getting Brad to call us back on time or the meat and potatoes?
Well, you've already told us one thing. Are you telling us?
Oh, I hope he's listening, actually. Brad's a really good guy. No, I mean, I think it was just a lot of struggle around term. I mean, it became an interesting dynamic as the Canadian dollar kept falling, and it really changed the whole, you know, really a lot of the dynamics around the negotiations. I think July 1st had a little bit of an impact as we saw older players really not getting the term that they used to. And I think it's created a growing concern with older players that, you know, you look around at some of these other teams with these contracts going into 39, 40 and beyond. I think teams are starting to get increasingly nervous because the cap's not doing what they expected it to, or it doesn't look like it will. So it doesn't look like there's going to be any room for errors in judgment. And so those dynamics just made it interesting and different and difficult. I think the term was really challenging for the Flames to get to where we ended up. Gio didn't want to push much beyond that because just by his nature, he would never want to be in a situation where he was being paid to do something he was no longer capable of. So he was quite content with 6 years, even though other players may have pushed for a little longer. So it took them a while to get there. And then there was the normal tugging back and forth on the numbers. But we got that managed, at least over time. Which was the biggest one?
You mentioned the July 1st and some of the veteran contracts. What were a couple of those ones that raised the red flag for you?
Well, I don't think it was a particular one. Just the fact that this just was no term out there this year, you know? So it was really just an overwhelming feeling. And I talked to a couple of other agents over the course of this negotiation, and they found that to be a tough struggle. J.P. Barrie was talking about the Sedins deals in Vancouver, and you know, and so I talked with JP and some other people, and, you know, term is the battlefield now. And I think rightly so, because, you know, you've got to be very careful in this sort of cap world, especially now that it's leveling off. You know, you can't have two 38-year-old players underperforming and making big money or having large cap hits.
Yeah, I think people feel when they hear about negotiations, they think it's just you and the player talking to the organization, but both sides are canvassing the whole industry and talking to people in the industry as this is going on, and sometimes talking to people in the financial industry as well, I presume, to predict where you think the dollars are going.
Well, I think sometimes it's just by osmosis. You know, I ran into JP at the, you know, at the Hockey Canada tryouts. It just happened. You know, you talk to people, and so it's not, you know, seek out a little bit. But yeah, you're just trying to figure it out. I mean, the Canadian dollar is one. You know, it's a lot of people, you know, we're looking at China and looking at China's decreased demand and how that affects our economy, and making at least some educated guesses on how that might affect Geo. But, you know, as the dollar dropped, the compensation to Geo in Canadian dollars was growing. So that also had an impact in his decision. Ultimately,
explain what that meant. What you meant there, Rich?
Well, see, because when we started negotiation, you know, $6.5 million or $7 million U.S. was about 7 million Canadian, a little bit more. When we finished negotiating, you know, 6.75 U.S. was close to 9 million Canadian. So it had a huge impact. I mean, he is Canadian. He has no plans to live outside Canada. So without any assistance from the Flames, compensation continued to rise in Canadian dollars incredibly over the course of this negotiation. So that had an impact on the ultimate number, because 6.75 wasn't the 6.75 we were talking about when we first started.
You have handled many players over the years. I've known a bunch of your clients, guys, different types, different personalities. Tell me what was unique about working with Gio.
Well, he's really a smart guy, and he really understands what he wants. We do goal setting with our players, and a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of agents do it to the detail that we do it, but I really talk a lot to the players about, where do you want to live? What are your concerns about taxes, family, team, your role in the team, your relationship with the organization? And so I think as we went through this, Gio had a really firm commitment to the Calgary Flames that was really buoyed up in a deep understanding of what was important to him. So he went into this negotiation knowing that it was going to be very difficult for another team to beat the Calgary Flames in a negotiation. Sure, could he have got more money? Brad mentioned that in some of his interviews yesterday, and that ended up in newspapers, you know, that, yeah, Gio could have got a lot more, probably. But where? Not from a team that he's the captain of. I mean, he was really close to, he really wanted to lead this team. He's really feeling they're at the, you know, at the crossroads of something special. And, you know, Gio wanted to be in Calgary. He wanted to be their leader. And I think what was really different, money is it was important as part of this negotiation, but Gio was so concerned about how this would affect his team and their competitiveness. He is the captain of the Calgary Flames, and he wears that C with a great deal of pride and a great deal of responsibility. And that's not the norm anymore. You know, guys get to be 34 and they just exit and go somewhere else, or 33. Or Gio really wanted to be here, and it was sincere, and it weighed in on every single day of these negotiations, but I want to be here. And, of course, we didn't tell them that much, but that often, but it really was different. It was just his loyalty to an organization that he'd grown up in was unique.
Talking with Rich Winter, who was the agent for Mark Giordano in these negotiations. You're still working with Claude Lemieux, right?
Yes.
Okay. Handled lots of players, as I say. I've known him going back to the 1980s, I guess. Late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, when... No, that couldn't be true. I think I was in elementary school then.
No, well, you were a boy prodigy. That is true. I was quite amazed that an 11-year-old child was handling players' contract negotiations at the time. But, yes, you are a young guy.
Yeah. Al Burton, growing up in Drumheller. It's the way we all are.
What makes the Flames different to negotiate with? Or unique, I should say, not different. Well, what's unique about negotiating with the Calgary Flames?
That unique, but I do think that, you know, Brad brings a, you know, he brings a much broader perspective. He's got a plan. I don't know every single aspect of it. Much of it he shares with me, but he has a very clear vision, and he isn't about to deviate from it. I don't always agree with him, obviously, but he has a job to do that's different than mine, and I think the Flames organization has become very professional. With Brian there, with his experience, and Brad, I mean, that's one of the more talented hockey operations in the business. I mean, Brad grew up in the Central Hockey League, which he had an ownership interest in. He's built arenas. He's overseen teams. He's overseen multiple teams. You know, he's been in a very difficult situation in Phoenix trying to build a team and manage a payroll. So he brings a lot of experience to the table, and of course Brian's experience really speaks for itself. So the combination is, you know, it's refreshing. I'd rather deal with a group that is that clear on where they're headed. They're not wandering here and there and wishy-washy, and I've even seen it in some of the entry-level contracts that we've negotiated in the last year. They're just very consistent on the way that they operate, which is helpful, because you know, if you're consistent in entry level, you don't get embarrassed by your third round pick getting less than the fourth round pick. And they've really worked hard to bring a level of professionalism that is not unique. I mean, there's a lot of teams, Chicago and Detroit, and a lot of them have run very professionally now. But the level of professionalism over the course of the last couple, 3 years has advanced considerably.
It's interesting you mention that, because Rob Kerr and I talk all the time. I said years ago when we finally got the salary cap, I said, look, teams that make a ton of money are going to have money left over, and they're going to start spending it in other places. And one of the places I thought they would do this is in management and in training, et cetera. And one of the templates we're seeing now, Rich, is, and you just talked about it with the Flames, we're not just seeing one GM. We're almost seeing a college of people in an organization, a brain trust. Yeah, the GM's there, but there's a president, then there's advisors, et cetera. We're seeing this in place after place after place. Again, how is that changing your business? Because you're still kind of operating just you and the player, right?
Well, no, we have a team of people that we rely on for financial management, some other things. But I think what's interesting, I mean, I think where it hit me, though, Chicago was really the first organization to do this as broadly and effectively as it's now starting to be emulated by other teams. But I remember when Marian Hossa first signed there, he had a bad shoulder, you know, after signing a 12-year deal. They were aware of it.
Your client.
Yeah, my client, Marian Hossa. And so we sat in a meeting around their convention where 12 people were in the meeting in a suite at the hotel room where the convention was held. And I just thought, it just hit me as fascinating that they had two doctors, they had the president, they had the GM, two assistant GMs. And as a group, they're making less mistakes than they would otherwise. There's a lot more, you know, the old Chicago Blackhawks was Bob Pulford and Cindy the secretary. And I think they're running more like a corporation. They're less prone to make mistakes. They're less prone to responding emotionally. It's really been interesting. It's I find it refreshing, because I think capable groups of people are easier to deal with.
Yeah.
Because they're more consistent. They understand the arguments you're making. And you get to closure more quickly.
Is this going to make it more difficult for teams that operate on a lower budget that aren't cap teams that maybe can't afford to do this sort of stuff? Are we going to start seeing the better heeled teams having an advantage this way?
I think it's going to be huge because it's really difficult for these teams to compete. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, at the combine, we've seen teams, low budget teams, I won't name them in particular to pick on them, but would send one scout to the combine. You know, I mean, that can't be an advantage.
Yeah.
So it's going to be challenging, and I think the cap, a lot of people, it's not just in this area, Bruce, because there is a huge competitive advantage certain cities have over others. I mean, whether people in would like it or not, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, those are attractive destinations as compared to some other cities, and I would even, you know, mine included, where I live, and Calgary probably, where I've also lived. I mean, I don't think if you're a young 24, 25-year-old young man or 27-year-old unrestricted free agent, you're going to be attracted, you and your wife are going to be attracted to Calgary and Edmonton as easily as you're going to be attracted to a Chicago or Los Angeles.
Right. Talking with Rich Winter, the agent for Mark Giordano, agent for a lot of well-known hockey players. Let's get back to where we started off in terms of how the market has changed. You made a point there about the Flames having the advantage with the difference in the Canadian dollar. Now, who knows? Currencies go up and go down, but typically I don't see this changing much for 2 years. Do we see Canadian teams having an advantage here to be and able to be signing guys at a dollar figure that's lower in American but still gives them a really nice take-home in Canada?
Well, I think it depends on the player. Gio is Canadian, plans to live in Canada, so I think it's a huge advantage. Would it be an advantage for, you know, if you're negotiating with Phil Kessel or, you know, Patrick Kane or one of these un-Americans? Probably not. But I think it does give you an advantage. You just can't help but realize what you're getting in local currency where you're planning to live.
Yeah. Plus, I think and we've talked about this before, too. Alberta still, you know, has some drawbacks, perhaps, but the tax structure here is very good for athletes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's attractive. And I do think there's different types of players. Like, a lot of players pine for the opportunity to play in an environment where, I remember when Peter Sikora came here, having played in New Jersey and won two cups and then played in Anaheim and went to the finals. But when he came to Edmonton, he said he couldn't tell you the number of times he's gassing up and someone's going, "Hey, Pete, good luck tonight." And so there are people players that really enjoy being in our environment where hockey is really at the heart of almost everything we do from a sports and entertainment perspective. So, yeah, I don't think we're as challenged as people think, but we're challenged. Certain players don't like the limelight, and I think the Montreals, the Calgarys, the Edmontons, the Canadian teams are not as attractive to those teams. I don't think it's as much the weather and things that people would traditionally think. It's just some people don't like the limelight. They like to go to work and they like to go to the beach.
So as I said, when we were just getting on the phone, I was just making the remarks that, of course, as soon as Gio's contract was made, everyone started to talk about Sean Monahan, what's going to happen, et cetera. We're heading into a new climate, as you just described. Give us your sort of, you know, back of the envelope notes on what you see going forward now. What are we looking at the next 18 months to 2 years that might influence you going shorter term or longer term or whatever? Just give us your sort of back of the envelope assessment of where the market is going to go.
Well, I just think, you know, it's really hard to pinpoint generalities, but I think outside of, you know, you're going to struggle to get term with older players. I think you're going to want to go shorter term. I mean, I don't think this economy can be in the toilet for a long time, but, you know, we're hearing things from Alberta's perspective with the reduced cost of solar energy coming on board and the lack of demand in places like China. I mean, it's going to be tough for a long time. So I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of struggle. A lot of agents are going to want to get those long-term deals that they have been getting for the younger players. They're not coming. I think you're going to have to make real educated decisions on what you have as a player. And if you have a rising asset like a Johnny Gaudreau or Sean Monahan or Freddie Anderson or Hampus Lindholm, who I represent in Anaheim, you're going to have to be real careful to lock in for too long, because what you're going to lock in for is it's going to be a lot tougher.
Yeah,
to get the numbers that they have been getting, and that adjustment's going to be hard for young players to accept because they're going to look at a guy. I talked to Stan Bowman about this a couple days ago, and about the 10.5 he's got tied up in Kane and Taze. But he said, Rich, you have to look at what the environment was when we signed those deals. Those guys thought they were 12 or 13. We just signed that big television contract in Canada where projections were the cap was going to 80. So they were making decisions at that time with a different set of expectations. And so what young players are going to face now is they're not going to get those deals, and there's going to be a sense of envy and jealousy in some cases. And it's going to take some time for people to accept that there's going to be a correction in the market, and won't be necessarily the case with the really good young players. But it's going to be tough on all of us because we're not going to get the deals in some cases that guys got last year.
That is Rich Winter, the agent of Mark Giordano, the captain in the fold, a six-year extension that runs till 2022, your average cap hit of $6.75 million. Flames fans have to be pumped about that. 7 o'clock on the button. We'll step aside and return with Ken King, the president and CEO of the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation. Your questions on text line 960-960 on your cell *960. You can call us at 403-240-4444. And of course, email us at fan960@rci.rogers.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, your home of the Flames.